Hi, it's Alice from Sanctuary, and I'm reflecting on some of the difficult words from Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 37. Some of us grew up with threats of hell, that burning lake of fire and brimstone, into which the sinful will be cast at death to their everlasting and fiery torment. And given how regularly hell comes up in many a church's preaching and in popular culture, and given how graphically it's described, you might wonder why I never mention it here. Am I avoiding all the nasty bits of the Bible? Well, no. But I think it's time we had that little chat. We need to talk about hell. When we hear the word, most of us think of a place of punishment and fire. We think too of an angry, vindictive, punitive God who throws all the people who refuse to be good and all the people who don't obey church rules and all the people who can't conform to social norms into the fires of hell. And this idea of hell has long been used by powerful church leaders to control people's behaviour and to threaten them into obedience. But I believe this use says much more about their image of God and perhaps their lust for power than it says about the God made known through Jesus Christ. And since Jesus is our primary lens, let's learn what Jesus means by hell. And to do that, let's go back to the Bible. In tonight's reading, hell is mentioned three times. It's three of only 13 mentions in the entire New Testament. And when Jesus says what we translate as hell, he's saying the word Gehenna. Now, Gehenna is not an abstract idea or a spiritual realm. Instead, to Jesus and to his first listeners, Gehenna is a place. It's a valley south of Jerusalem, and it's famous for one thing. In the words of the prophet Jeremiah, "In Gehenna they have built an altar called Topheth, so that they can sacrifice their sons and daughters in the fire." They have built an altar so that they can sacrifice their sons and daughters in the fire. And I, the Lord, did not command them to do this. It did not even enter my mind. And so the time will come when it will no longer be called Topheth or Gehenna, but Slaughter Valley. They will bury their dead there until they run out of room to bury them. Gehenna, a place of ritual child sacrifice, a place where children were killed to placate violent gods and to ensure the safety and prosperity of the nation. Ancient Israel was surrounded by nations which practiced child sacrifice. It was very common. And from time to time, people and even kings in Israel were persuaded by the practice and engaged in it too. This is why there are explicit biblical laws against it, because it was happening. Just as our laws against child abuse exist to try and protect children who are suffering now. Of course, the priests who slaughtered children on the altar at Gehenna believed they were doing the right thing. They were appeasing angry gods and ensuring peace and prosperity. They were no different to the people now who suggest violence is at times reasonable, justified, and sadly necessary to preserve the peace and stability of our society. Peacekeeping forces and drone strikes, armed response, police brutality, detention centres and astronomical incarceration rates of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. These are all forms of state violence employed in the name of peace and prosperity for the privileged classes of our nation. Regrettably, some children end up in immigration detention or are killed or injured in drone strikes. Regrettably, some Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children are sent to adult prisons. Regrettably, some children are used and abused by the priests and the powers that be. Regrettably, many children are shaped and corrupted by capitalist desire before they can even walk. Regrettably, many children are born below the poverty line, despite our national wealth. And these children and others are sacrificed on the altar of our national peace and prosperity. We regret this. We regret it very much. and we call these children collateral damage. But I, the Lord, did not command them to do this. It did not even enter my mind. Gehenna or hell is an abomination to God. God does not demand human sacrifice. God does not light the fires of hell and cast people away and tear people apart. Instead, it is people who build and maintain hell on earth and who sacrifice others, especially children, in its fires. It is people who insist on concentration camps and killing fields and torture chambers and re-education centres and Aboriginal missions and an ever-growing prison population, all in the name of national security. And it is people who demanded the torture and sacrifice of the ultimate innocent victim, Jesus Christ. For on the advice of the high priest Caiaphas, and at the urging of the mob, he was whipped, stripped, and hanged on the cross. For it is people who believe that it's better for one man to die than for the safety of the nation to be compromised. It's important to be clear what I'm saying here. God does not demand the sacrifice of his son in some sort of sacred bloodlust. Having children killed to appease an angry God and ensure national prosperity and peace is not our God's pleasure or delight. For I, the Lord, did not command them to do this. It did not even enter my mind. Instead, God's son sacrificed himself. He handed himself over to human hands in order to show us a different way. For through his self-sacrificial death, Jesus unmasked human, religious, and national violence. He descended into death to transform our death-dealing practices forever. He led the way to a new society, which is not based on the sacrifice of others, but on the sacrifice of our own egos, desires, needs, and even lives for the sake of others. Sacrificing others diminishes and takes life and leads straight to hell. But our God is the God of life. Sacrificing oneself gives life, and it leads to a peace which is deep and lasting and heavenly and true. So what does all this have to do with the text from Matthew and our ordinary lives? Well, we humans have a tendency to legalize faith, to turn a way of being into a set of rules. These rules privilege particular groups and classes, straight people, middle-class people, people with no mental health issues, and few can follow them all. And so we end up with insiders and outsiders, define ourselves as insiders, and consign outsiders to burn in the fires of hell, or to be imprisoned in immigration detention, or to be trapped in cycles of poverty, loathing, incarceration, or self-harm, as they're scorned, shamed, attacked, and humiliated by politicians and media and powerful church leaders, I'm sorry to say. But Jesus is not in the business of shaming and condemning. He does not threaten violence or engage in manipulative finger wagging. He is not calling us to obey a more stringent set of rules, but to be transformed into a new community, shaped in his image and incarnating his love. And so his injunctions in this passage are not threats, they are statements of fact. If you define yourself as holy by your religious practice, but in your self-righteous anger refuse to engage in the hard work of reconciliation and forgiveness, you are on a slippery slope. You are objectifying and othering people. And from there, it's only a short step to a society gathered around the fires of Gehenna, united in bloodlust and rage. If you fantasize about someone outside your marriage, or if you give nothing in your marriage but only take, you are turning people into objects of your desires. And from there, it's only a short step to a society gathered around the fires of Gehenna, united in bloodlust and rage. But if, stepping back to the wider gospel, you love one another and forgive one another, reconcile with one another and love your enemy, if you speak truth in all your dealings, if you value and protect all children and not just your own, if you sacrifice your own power and privilege to build a world that all can share, if you reject the violence of the state, and if you refuse to gather around dancing flames and death, then you'll become a new community, a community gathered around and shaped by the cross. And this new community will overflow with life in abundance and a deep and abiding peace. So let us continue to love one another in everything we do. Let us work through hurts, conflicts, and disappointments when they happen. Let us listen humbly and forgive and reconcile. Let us uphold and honour marriage, and let us uphold and honour the singles in our midst. Let our words be gentle and loving and true. And let us live this way not because we are scared of hell, for fear never leads to anything good. Instead, let us live this way because we can see the wide open spaces of heaven before us. Indeed, we are entering them even now. So go now and choose life. Follow God's way. Make peace, seek forgiveness, pray for reconciliation, and let your word be true. And may God hold you close on your journey. May Jesus help you live with integrity, and may the Holy Spirit lead you with joy into the wide open spaces of heaven. In the name of Christ. Amen. If you value what you heard, there's always more to read on our website. That's sanctuarybaptist.wordpress.com. Sanctuary is funded entirely by members and supporters. If you'd like to support the work of this little church, you can make a donation via PayPal, and you can find the details for this on the website. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you another time.